It's January 1st, 2024, and it's a very New Year's episode. I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Nick Cease, and this is Bottle Crow, reborn, a Dota 2 podcast where we don't talk about Dota 2 on a podcast. Wow, you're starting off the year right, Six. The date is correct. The vibes are immaculate.
Oh, no, they're not. You just don't know how bad the vibes are yet.
No, boy. I was going to say manifesting that, but I'm not.
You're forgetting some things about the vibes today. Yeah.
I'm vibe adjacent.
First episode of 2024. Do you want to just get into the main event?
The RTC Speakeasy? Absolutely.
Uh-huh. I've gotten all my rage out at the patch. Now I'm just trying to be happy. Because when the new patch drops and I like it, I'll probably be angry all the time. I need something to be mad at. And now that I have the patch of the anime, it's
cool. Oh, God.
I finally managed to get my hands on Ego Brunch in a Jar.
Oh, boy. Because there's been some discourse in the Discord on this where you revealed that you had this, and I completely forgot. But what the fuck? Sex,
okay,
for the uninitiated.
So this is something we've talked about on an episode previously. It was a real white whale, if you will, or if you won't. I don't really care how you feel. This is a product from the Appalachian Sippin' Cream Company.
Is that
right? It is a partnership with Ego, the makers of fine waffles.
Fine frozen waffles.
You know what? I probably shouldn't have said fine. The makers of waffles.
Acceptable waffles.
And they claim it is a waffles and syrup cream liqueur. Now, you have actually tried some of this anticlimactically. Am I correct in assuming the base alcohol is a whiskey?
I think it's to the level of requiring like the actual FDA or whatever other thresholds you would use to describe the base spirit, because it's probably just like some sort of grain alcohol, which may or may not technically be a whiskey. You're not going to find a lot of
notes,
malty complexity.
Okay.
Let's see. Ego. Let's see. I'm on the website now. Maybe I'll be able to find some
details. They're really incredible. I'm on their website as well, and they just don't mention what kind of alcohol it is whatsoever on like any of their products.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, it's like, I don't know. It's not malt liquor, but
it's spirits.
Some sort of spirits. The cheapest grain alcohol they could find from Sugarlands. Sugarlands Distilling Co.
Their FAQ is not...
There's an FAQ.
Technically speaking, yes. I think it might be both broken and out of date.
Well, that's exciting. Collapse title.
It's all about Roaming Man.
And so the apparently HTML is exposed.
Yeah. They used to make straight rye whiskey. Once upon a time.
Open inspector button.
Boop doop doop.
Oh, F12. I'm going to see if I can fix the HTML here while you... I'll fix the website for them.
Boop-a-doop-a-doop. Sugarlands Protector. Boop-a-doop-a-doop-boop-boop.
What?
So you just had this, right? You just sort of drank some randomly?
We had it at the Bob International, the Greg Stack. We like Dota... Stack extravaganza for the combination international and friend of the show Bob's 50th birthday party. I believe Greg was the one actually who sourced it. I may have gotten that wrong.
And so you just sort of poured some and drank some? Is that sort of the vibe?
Oh, no.
No? Tell me.
No, sorry, that is what we did, and I'm now realizing perhaps that that's not what you're going to be doing.
Well, you did it wrong, right?
Obviously.
So first I'm going to unscrew this lid. No pop, because I guess it's not carbonate or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that smells like syrup and Kahlua, you know, kind of, right?
Kind of.
You have to remember the alcohol sort of overrides a lot of things for me.
Sure.
But, you know, I think you get that vibe, right? But it calls itself brunch in a jar. It calls itself waffle and syrup, you know, flavored. But I have to respond to my roommates. Yes, I know the trash goes out tomorrow. But, like, how are we supposed to know, right? Because I have prepared an Eggo waffle and syrup.
Oh, boy.
So we will start.
And I've also got this blender here and a bottle of whiskey. And we're going to be making our own sipping cream.
Well, that's episode two, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's, you know, the squeakle.
This is the project of 2024.
Oh.
All right, I poured a little syrup in here into a couple of these cells of this waffle, as it were, and we're just gonna. No, I'm using Mrs. Butterworth, which is obviously an artificial syrup, but I suspect,
of course,
in essence, so are they, right? I don't think I'm gonna get a lot of authentic maple flavor from this thing. Also, I don't like authentic maple syrup very much.
I was going to say, Eggos aren't really, like, necessarily meant to have maple syrup on them also, you know.
True. True. Anyway, I'll go ahead and take a little from the jar, and then we can pour. I mean, I'll pour a little into a cup. It's pretty obvious what it looks like, but.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
It is as thick as you think.
I'm going to set this down for a moment and compose myself. So this is, yeah, there's thick. There's like a cream, like, I don't have a cream mustache, but the lid of this jar certainly does, right?
It also, like, it's sticky and, like, it's certainly viscous, but it also is, it clings, I found.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Wow. Huh. I mean, I do, to me, the burn feels similar to a whiskey, but I don't know. I'm not an expert.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get a little in this cup here. Ooh, I had to pour it really fast so it didn't run over the edge, because this is not meant for pouring. Oh my gosh, you've got to look at the gams on this, honey. Where's my phone?
Currently editing HTML. Trying to remember my awful HTML experience.
So I haven't drunk out of this at all. I will note the top of the rim has a little bit of residue from, I believe it was soy milk that my roommate drinks sometimes. So you wash it and it doesn't,
okay,
it doesn't always quite come up. Like, it just is visual only. It's gone, but it just sort of leaves a bit of an impression. However, the wine style legs you see on this glass are just from it landing in the glass.
I like the landing, like, in the glass.
It's got an impact crater.
I want Six to be describing wine. And, oh, yes, I love the way it lands in the glass. Graceful, with a little bit of a bump. Has to use a little bit of rudder.
Okay, so, put the nose on it. Like, smells like cream and a little bit of syrup and not very good whiskey, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes, you know, mostly the same. It has opened up a little bit. But now for the really fucked up part, right? So, I figure we might as well have double the fun.
It seems like your Eggo has definitely got some heat put on it, you know?
Oh, yeah, I toasted it. Some crispiness. And that's got a different kind of, oh, that's interesting. I didn't anticipate this. So, I'm taking this picture. And what has happened here will not be self-evident immediately, because it is interacting differently than I expected. So in these bottom three cells, I filled them to the top with this sippin' cream.
Yeah.
And it has simply absorbed them all completely.
Oh, I assumed that's what. Oh no! Now that I take a closer look, I can see, because there's a bite taken out of it from the.
Yeah, that was where the syrup taste was, right. But this is where the cream is.
Yeah, it's gone.
It just drank it. It's just been sipped,
perhaps, by the waffle.
A little bit has gone through to the bottom, but mostly I think it's been absorbed into the waffle. Let's go ahead and.
This is going to be something.
Oh no. It has, what the fuck? It has acted somehow. Oh. It has acted like some manner of filter, right?
Okay.
And the cream flavor and the syrup flavor seems to have passed right through, and all that's left is the burn of low-quality alcohol, and I don't like it. This is bad.
This so is you're much... enjoying a lovely bit of, you know, sponge from the Eggo.
A little bit of crisp, because I toasted it some, you know.
Right, at least you did that, yeah. So you got, like, a nice organic sponge with some grain alcohol.
Is it sucks! Sweet? No, it's not. I mean, it has a little bit of sweetness from the Eggo itself, but the sweetness of the drink is nowhere to be found.
Interesting.
It's just gone.
I mean, this is like a thoroughly artery-clogging, like, you can feel the diabetes drink, too. Like, it is sweet, from what I remember. Mm-hmm.
I've done a terrible thing.
You somehow, like, clarified. This is the process for clarifying an Eggo, to refine it to its most pure form. So now you just have to distill the alcohol back out.
The part of the drink that made it through the bottom of the waffle onto the plate,
uh-huh,
is, like, really thick. I think it really just retained the alcohol and let the rest through.
I was going to say, could you... You've done worse. Could you go ahead and lick that up and tell us how it tastes?
Sure.
The clarified sipping cream. Oh my god, I just had a great idea for... I don't know.
So it tastes like the drink does, but the alcohol burn doesn't kick in. You can taste the alcohol, right? So like that flavor is still there, but no burn at the end. Because I really think this is actually what has happened. This is crazy.
That's baffling. I got a great idea while you were saying
this. Uh-huh. I bet you did. I'm sure I'll agree.
I do some sort of short-form content, you know, right? Like a YouTube short or a TikTok or whatever. And it's, you know, there's all those for, like, fancy coffee things, I'm sure, right? I don't even watch these, but I know. I've been shown. It's like, oh, it's a very atmospheric thing with fancy. Now we're going to do a minute of ASMR pour-over coffee. And I do it with everything. I get a gooseneck kettle and everything, which I don't have, except, and I get a Chemex, or, you know, I borrow Alan's Chemex, except instead of a filter paper, I put in an Eggo waffle, and I'm pouring Appalachian.
This is how I make my breakfast blend.
And so some people like this black. I'm going to go ahead and add a little bit of whole milk and sugar. And then you get a little ding-de-ding-de-ding, or ding-de-ding. I have no metal here. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, I have a glass next to me, but yeah. So coming to a TikTok.
You know what, let me try. I have nail clippers, and I can extend the nail file and tap it against this glass. Are you ready?
Yep, this is incredible, thank you.
There we go, I'm talking and you can hear. It's actually not bad as a sound effect.
It's pretty good. As a thing to do, it's not great, but...
Well...
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and post the HTML here. I've failed because I don't know what the hell this form of collapsible is. If somebody who knows HTML these days can go ahead and tell me what needs to be corrected here, because I tried making the collapse title things in braces and in carrots, and that didn't work. And so now I Googled it, obviously, but there's all sorts of different collapsibles. If I go to W3 schools, we've got the bootstrap collapse, including the basic collapse, the collapsible panel, the collapsible list group, and of course, as we all know, the accordion. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not familiar with this HTML. I learned when I was a kid, I didn't know any programming, but I taught myself XHTML, which was supposed to replace it. But instead, HTML5 became a thing, or at least that was true as of, you know, a decade plus ago.
Yeah, XHTML was a bit of a fake out.
Yeah. It's like, well, fucking thanks, W3, you know. Thanks for nothing. Thanks for the internet. AKA
jerks.
Nothing. Wow. What are you going to do with the remainder of this waffle?
Oh, I'm eating it right now.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. But did you equip it with some syrup?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, syrup.
You gotta
not more sipping cream. I don't think that was the play.
I don't know what else there is to do. Like, I don't think there's alternate strategies to take when combining the Eggo and the sip and cream experience. Boy. Well, speaking of making people mad, supposedly, I guess, you know, that's our tour is all about doing that. I think I mentioned this on the the release, The Last Battle Crow that we did, the Patreon bonus one. But I've been, because I tasted a whiskey on that one that I got for Christmas, I also, this was also a whiskey my brother gifted to me. I have a nice bottle of Lagavulin scotch, which is a very peaty, I think is what they call it. It's very peated, which means it has lots of smoke flavor. And this thing is just a fucking smoke bomb. Like, if I open it in my kitchen, I just do the thing that Six always loves. Uh-huh. You can smell it from across the room, and it just smells like a smoke bomb. So I picked up some amaretto the other day. I forget why. I don't think it was exclusively for this, but what I'm drinking is something I made before. It is The Godfather, which is scotch and amaretto in whatever ratio you feel like. I've tried multiple, and this I'm gonna be making people mad by mixing Lagavulin, I'm sure, with something, but it's just not for me. I think I'm really trying, but it's just so smoky. I'm very open to new things, but and listen, like, I'm doing low ratios. This is actually one of the higher ones. I did like 2-1 ish scotch to amaretto here, or 2-1.5, but now, so it's been chilling here. As you can see, I've just absolutely loaded it with ice, too. It really is a mix it to drink. And I'm smelling, like, smoke now, obviously. But it's kind of, it's not an overpowering scent. I mean, the temperature absolutely helps, too, I'm sure. And then you smell the amaretto, like, sweetness, like, weird almond liqueur. I'll take a sip. You taste so much peat smoke, but it's not immediately overpowering because there's so much sweetness from the amaretto, which is just like liquid sugar almond liquor.
I really expect you to say liquid plumber. Hot takes on amaretto out here.
What is in liquid plumber?
Good question.
Liquid plumber, contents, ingredients. Liquid plumber is a chemical. Oh, there's a Wikipedia, and oddly, there's no second or the first, I suppose, E in liquid plumber.
No, of course not. Or B.
Oh, that's true. Liquid plumber is a chemical drain opener made of 0.5 to 2% sodium hydroxide. That's bleach. No, that's lye. And 5 to 10% sodium hypochlorite.
AKA bleach.
Known in a dilute solution.
It's lion bleach.
As chlorine bleach, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a surfactant and some sort of soap, I guess. Produced by Clorox. Now,
there was a great product you could only get when I lived in Missouri, which was, it's illegal in other states, right?
Figures.
But they were just bottles of straight acid that you would use for your plumbing. Those fuckers got shit done.
Bottles of what?
I don't know, like, what kind of... I don't know what kind of acid it was, right? But, like, you would pour it down the drain and then it would start to smell like sewage because it was just eating anything that was in there.
MoFlow? Plug Buster?
What did you call Zep? Me?
Nick, you can't say that on air. Thrift Super Pro Heavy Duty? It seems like there's just sulfuric acid.
Sulfuric acid, that's what it was.
Drain opener.
Yeah, it was just sulfuric acid.
Interesting. So this
it
is
came
the,
in these
the
like
Momar
dark,
company.
It came in these like dark brown bottles.
Dark brown bottle.
I think it was Liquid Lightning.
Ooh.
I think I found it.
Yeah, there's multiple different ones here. Liquid Lightning. It seems like that would probably be a bad thing to.
This is definitely
the
it.
Public have access to. To be encouraged to do their pipes willingly.
I mean, you had to be careful, right?
Right. But it got your shit unclogged. Wow, there's so many different chemicals from from Momar. We've got the Blockbuster. We have Caliber, Citra Fizz, Clear MoFlow.
Citra Fizz is the drinking version.
Drain Clean, Plugbuster, Superco Slam Dunk, and Unstoppable.
Five-star review from LaKendra Dolls. Yo, anytime you see a bottle at the bottom of the shelf in Walmart in a bag, you know it's real. I was nervous at first because I'm like, what the hell, a whole bag though? So I googled reviews, and Mr. Bob and his long-ass review made me gone try it because ain't no way he wrote all that and it didn't work. Yeah, my tub been messed up for about 8 months, so he could only use the shower, but after this, it really worked. Goes on you to can, explain.
Oh, what? Please.
Oh, I mean, I have to see more reviews to see this full. Okay.
There's more.
I use all 32 ounce and waited the 20 minutes like Mr. Bob said, and boom, tub unclogged. Shit stank though, but I worked.
But I worked.
Leah J says, this stuff really doesn't play.
Where are you reading these reviews?
I'm just reading Google reviews for Liquid Lightning buffered sulfuric acid. Oh, yeah.
How does Google have... So what is this? Liquid Lightning. How are there Google reviews?
When you pour it down your drain, it devours all matter in its way.
I don't see
You can see a little smoke rise out of the drain. It's true. You can. But it is true, it will burn holes in your clothes, known from experience. So be careful and wear gloves and eyewear, and do not get it on your skin. 100% worth it, though.
I'm learning so much just by reading Momar.com. So the Citra Fizz, by the way, is a highly alkaline peroxide fortified drainline powder. It is a thermochemical drainline opener. Active oxygen dissolves organic matter, reaches a maximum temp of 135F, it claims. But then when I clicked on Citra Fizz, these other things popped up. The Superco Slam Dunk is another thermochemical thing, not as exciting. But we do have LBE, which is an ultra-concentrated cherry-scented benzo and bioenzymatic digester, which is great. It helps to reduce your grease trap pumping. But best of all, if you just need the cherry-centered bioenzymatic digester, there's Gobble Up. Liquid bacteria digester that eliminates drain clogs and significantly reduces drain grease trap plumbing. Wait.
That's a really gross drain, they show it. It comes in like nuclear waste barrels. That's some shit.
Gobble Up, though, is in all caps. It's really good.
Cherry scented.
We got a barrel of Gobble Up.
Oh, wait. Contains no dangerous acids or caustics. Okay, waste of my time. Thanks.
That's because it's basic. It's chlorine heat. Wait, no. Chlorine heat and alkali resistant. Is it just bacteria? I think it's actually bacteria. It says liquid bacteria digester. It is not something that digests bacteria. I think it is liquid bacteria.
Liquid Lightning Buffered Sulfuric Acid Drain Cleaner 32-ounce review on Amazon. 1 star. As soon as I removed the seal, my forehead started burning, and I had to rinse my face repeatedly with cold water.
Why does this have a cherry fragrance? I'm reading the safety data sheet for Gobble Up. Clear light green liquid with cherry fragrance. Yeah, it has a neutral pH.
Now, do you want to take it to another segment, Nick?
Hold on. Let me just... I'm going over the technical data sheet now. Oh, it has to get me signed in to access literature.
Tisk, tisk.
Sorry, I'm going to close. We've got the Night... We have the Night Pro Watch. This is the name of a microprocessor-based chemical dispensing system.
What do you mean a microprocessor? It's like they got a Raspberry Pi in there.
Knight Rider, right? Well, this is Night Pro Watch 510 XT. It stores up to 20 dispensing events per day, programmable by day, minutes, or seconds. With the addition of the misting kit, Pro Watch becomes an advanced chemical spray system.
I feel like I love to have dispensing, which I feel like you can't. I mean, dispensing events is a very kind way to put it. That's not what most people call it, but okay.
I feel like I'm doing the intro to American Psycho. I live in the American Gardens building on West 81st Street on the 11th floor. All ingredients of this product are listed in the TSCA inventory.
Well, Nick, can you take it to my life for IEER?
I will, but just letting you know, there are other liquid alive bacteria, and you can get it in any scent you want. We have apple blossom, Caribbean breeze, island berry, and regular. Now, where the fuck did I put my life for IEER? It's probably in Battlecrow.
I really do think that we should have more flesh-eating bacteria that smells like a Caribbean breeze. Good job, gang. I think it's just IEER.
How would you spell that?
It starts with an A.
Okay, then an I.
And then... Let me look. I don't know how I did this one. It's been a while. Bottle Crow Bumpers, date modified.
You can listen to Barry the Queen.
It is my life. Really?
Or at least, I don't think so. Here, let me. I'll be searching.
Here, I'll just give it to you real quick.
My life. No, I don't. Okay, let's go ahead and let's fix this live. We'll do it live. I've got the FLAC. The FLAC is in the downloads. Control X, switch back to the BC segments, exit the search, and now we paste my life for IEER. We drag it into here, and then we sort alphabetically. My life for IEER.
The invasion fleet stands ready. We await only your command, Hierarch.
Wait.
Zeratul.
Templar! Arrest this traitor!
No! We will hear him out.
Get back! Everyone get back now! Everyone get back! Just get back! As much as you can. Dude, we have no time! A storm buyback! Storm, go! Storm buyback! Go! Storm! Storm spirits!
We have been through much together, Zeratul. But
also great vanilla.
Sacrificed in the hopes that this moment would come to pass.
This one's really long, huh?
Exactly.
Forgot.
Commence the invasion.
Wait, there's no punchline? What a shit bumper!
It's not your best work. I respect it.
There's a premise there. I like it, because, you know, it's the cutscene where Zeratul's like, hey, you actually shouldn't invade right now. We've got other priorities. Uh-huh. And they overdubbed it with EE. But then there's no punchline. There's no punchline.
Six, why are we here?
Well, Nick.
To suffer.
2023 has come and gone.
It's true, it's out.
You know, you spend a surprising amount of it in StarCraft 2.
It's true. I somehow ended up playing a lot of StarCraft.
Which is why yesterday I asked for your Battle.net login.
You did. And I gave it to you.
And, folks, StarCraft 2 is a competitive game where there's a lot of variables, a lot of factors. Mm-hmm. They don't actually have very interesting metadata, though. So this segment's going to be short.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I gotta find out what Nick's favorite, you know, like, fucking...
Unit.
Like, unit is, what, you know, yeah. And it's like, no, did you win or did you lose? It's like, that's it? That's it? A little underwhelming, but...
It's an old game, yeah.
Yeah, well, they have updated it a lot. I thought they might maybe...
It is essentially unsupported now. Like, it's true, barely on life support. They stopped any funding of the pro scene this year.
Well, Nick, do you know what division you ended up in this year?
Diamond.
Yes, you're Diamond 3.
The bottom of the barrel.
Specifically in Shellac Sigma is the name of your Diamond 3 division. Because they divide people up in the divisions.
Used to, like, hide MMR or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now it's kind of irrelevant, but...
In Shellac Sigma, you are currently ranked exactly 50th.
Wow. Balance.
With 434 points and a win-loss rate of wins, lost, ties, 15-17-0.
Wow. They really put ties in there? Draws never happen.
It's in the system. But this overall puts you in the top 29 percentile.
Really?
Of StarCraft 2 players.
How do you know that?
Because I looked up a different analytics site.
Oh, I see.
I went to sc2pulse.nefest.com.
Oh, never heard of that.
Nick, what do you think you play Protoss. What do you think your worst matchup is?
That's a good
Obviously,
question.
The options are Protoss, Terran, and Zerg.
Mm-hmm. I think probably Protoss? The mirror matchup, is this it?
You're a clean 50-50 on the Protoss mirror match.
Wow.
This year, anyway, I suppose.
Yeah. I guess that's only 30-something games. I'm going to say Terran, then.
It is Terran. You are 7-9 on Terran, 43%. Seem to have a lot of trouble with
that. Not that awful, I suppose.
I mean, overall, you're a winning player. But... yeah.
Mm-hmm. Barely. I've gone back and forth on my zeal for the StarCraft. Because for a while, I was following, like, when I got, I was to say back into it, but I never really was into it. But when I had my recent push the last, I guess, in 2023, I followed, there's these, like, bronze to GM, you know, guides or series that YouTubers do. So I followed one of those to, like, learn the builds and then, like, your normal... I just way to play, and then I got good enough that I could, like, kind of goof around and still do okay. So then I stopped being kind of strict with my build and benchmarking performance and stuff like that. But now I feel like I've come back around to wanting to try hard again, because it's not fun to lose when you're just playing around, I think, in StarCraft.
Hmm,
and so it's like, it's upsetting to be like, oh, I have this fun thing I want to do, or I don't know, I'm going to rush out +3 shields or something. This isn't a real thing. +3 shield upgrades, which is like a nonsense thing. And then you lose. You're like, oh, that's kind of a waste of time, huh?
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Son.
You also spent some time in the 2v2 leagues.
That's true. In front of the show, Hotodagu and I occasionally 2v2 it up.
Well, now you've kind of spoiled. I knew the answer, but I was ready to do a whole, like, and you've been teamed up with some significantly lower MMR player named Defogify, who seems dog shit. I knew it was Dallas, but I wanted to pretend I didn't and sort of wind things up so that it would be an embarrassing reveal. It was someone I knew.
Oh, boy.
But I don't know, man. How are you feeling about StarCraft? You had your year of intense crafting.
Mm-hmm.
Your last game was only like 3 days ago.
It's true, but I'm on a, I think, a lull, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I was like, oh, I'm good enough that I can just kind of like play around in unranked, and then found that wasn't very fun when you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of got disenfranchised, and then I feel like I'll come back around to being like, oh, I'm going to learn a new build or just like try to do this one thing. And then you try to get good at that. Like, I feel like I've gotten the itch for it in a way that, like, I sometimes get the itch for fighting games where it's just like,
sure.
It's the urge. It's the compulsion. You're like, oh, I want to do some fun moves with my stick. You know, I want to cast a lot of special moves as Oni or Kage or whatever. In our street fighting games.
There's a certain degree that this is just me and my own hangups, right?
Sure.
But part of the reason I can't get into StarCraft is, like, if you make the comparison and say it's like a fighting game, imagine if the start of any fighting game match was you being like, okay, I have to whiff these 3 normals, and then I do this special 4 times, and then I do these, and then I can play the game. It's like, I just want to play the game.
just let me play the game. I'm stepping way back, a big fan of kind of, I really need to figure out the word for what I am here. I want to say completionist, right? Like, I was like, oh, the Nier games. I like Nier. Oh, there's these Drakengard series. I'll play through that. So I've always wondered, like,
you made it a game and a half.
And exactly. Hey, I haven't died yet. Okay, we're still going. I'm going to die before this episode comes out. I was always like, what's the StarCraft 1 thing? Like, people are like, that's the big thing in Korea. And so, like, I don't understand what this thing is. I wonder how different it is. Turns out it's way fucking different. It's a completely different thing. And it is just, like, I've now gotten the context from, I don't know, watching YouTube videos and, like, researching of what the hell StarCraft 1 was. And it was like, oh, the game was never supposed to be, like, played fast and competitively. Like, it wasn't actually made for that.
Right.
And it's just, like, the Koreans, it was this one, what are they called? KESPA, I think, or something. This one media org, like, kind of took the idea of esports and ran with it and made it a giant money-making machine for them. And StarCraft 1 is so fucking obtuse. I was like, oh, this seems like really interesting, and there's a lot of depth here. And people say there's more like unit micro ability than in StarCraft 2, and things are kind of slower, so fights aren't like as twitchy and over immediately. And I was like, oh, this all sounds really fun. And so I boot up the game, I boot up the game, and I was like, oh, huh. Yeah, this is really archaic, because you can't control group buildings together, and you can only have 12 units in a control group. And a control group is like you can assign, let's just say, like, your number keys on the keyboard to a certain group of units. So it's like, hey, I've got an army on the 2 key. I double tap 2, and it snaps my camera to them, and then I'm selecting them. I have my, like, production or economy buildings in StarCraft 2, at least, on 5. So I hit 5, and then I hit E, and now I'm building a worker. In StarCraft 1, you can hotkey buildings, but only singular ones. So if I have more than one unit-producing structure, you would have to have, like, a shit ton of hotkeys, which they limit you to 10. You can't. Or you have to get really good at, like, having your camera in certain spots, hitting a camera hotkey to snap to that location, and then on screen, like, kind of doing a click. And literally, there's so many YouTube videos on this, though less than you'd think in English, where it's just like, okay, here's my setup for base building. All right, I have 5 gateways here. I'm going to hit my camera location or not, and then I'm going to go left click Z, and like this. And then you just practice this for a while, and you get really good at it. And I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, I can't imagine Six playing Brood War being like, I just want to fucking have an army.
I actually like insane. Brood War a lot. I don't like playing it competitively, but just like playing the campaign, I had more fun. And I did play some Brood War, like, against other people. Competitive is a, you know, relative term sometimes. Yes. But against other people back in the day. I think part of the thing is what you're describing is, like, it makes it a nightmare at the really high end, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes it so that there is a lower end, you know?
Yeah, like, that's the thing I started to understand.
Like, I think the unit limit of, like, 12 for a control group is great. And the problem is that people figured out ways around it.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, I'll just have 600 APM and go 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, 5A. And then I'm sending my 60 Zerglings across the map or whatever. Yeah, I was reading lots because I've... there's this new game, what the hell's it called? Stormgate, like, by a bunch of ex-Blizzard people formed a company, and they're making a new RTS called Stormgate. So there's a lot of people talking on Reddit about, you know, things they like and don't like from StarCraft and Warcraft games. And the like... F2A move, they say, in StarCraft 2, where F2 is like you select, and this is a thing that is unique to StarCraft 2, not 1. You can select, like, all your fighters with just this one button built in. So you don't have to have them control grouped even. You just hit F2, and then you A move. And if you have a big enough ball of units, you will win, right?
Right,
you
right.
You can't do that in Brood War. And no. You can't just, like, hit, you know, you can't hit 6 and then hold down the A key to build 100 marine, like queue 100 marines. So you do have to like be able to do that. You have to, it makes a low end, and then I think even at the high end, like, people are still making those mistakes. So there's a thing to like work on perfecting. It's like the journey to obtain like mastery or perfection, but it's so archaic and difficult that you'll never actually can sort of like master that low level mechanic like you can in StarCraft 2.
I see.
That's a lot of words. For I get what you mean.
To that shit playstyle you developed.
And I think I agree. Put a whole lot of words for that shit playstyle.
Well now, son, it's me.
It's me.
Sure. Purge.
You put a whole lot of fancy words to that shit playstyle that you developed.
Yeah, so I don't know. I thought I was going to learn Brood War, but the problem with Brood War is the only people left playing it because it is so psychotic. Hard to get into. Yeah, are just incredibly good compared to, like, a newbie.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I played some games against AI, and, like, I did figure it out somewhat, just, like, against one AI. I was like, oh, okay, I figured out the flow. And that's the thing that, like, I think Brood War probably has way over StarCraft 2, is, like, the flow of, like, okay, the macro cycle. Every 30 seconds, I've got to double tap this one gateway I have hotkeyed, and then I've got to click around, build a bunch of zealots. I go to my nexuses. The fact that you can't rally workers out of a nexus to go mine was the most mind-blowing thing to me. I'm like, am I just doing this wrong? Is my game broken? And then I looked up, like, no. After a worker spawns from your production building, you have to individually click it and put it on this thing that gathers money for you. And you'll have, like, 20 of these things at a building at a time. You start with 4, I think, but you have to like individually spawn these things, select it, and then tell it where to go.
It's a thing I talked about some, I don't know, like many episodes ago, probably still this year though, was watching some like old pro StarCraft 1.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's fascinating to see, like, I mean, how much the game has changed, and the meta has changed, and the skill level has increased. Because, like, at the beginning, you will have things where it's like, oh, this Terran player got their siege tank on a cliff where they're in range of their workers. And it's like, not only is this probably game over, it takes the other player a long time to notice because there's just so much shit going on and the communication is not clear. It's one of like 7 things on their minimap that just has a red exclamation mark. And finally, like, hey, what's this one? It's like, oh God.
Oh God, I've lost.
Yeah, yeah. Or you just see, like, there was another game where a Terran player did like the classic like medic marine dropship thing,
yeah,
right? And they were just like kiting around the base with like 2 marines and 1 medic, and that won the game because at a certain point the other player realized, I have spent too much resources on this and not solved the problem. This is over.
Yeah. It's like chess. Like, I see why some people could prefer Brood War now, and I feel like if I had started back in the day, I might prefer it. But I think I'm too far in to StarCraft 2, and I'm already such a strange niche nerd that, like, getting into Brood War is a big thing. Is, I think, not in my purview these days.
Over the last month, I have gotten into a strategy game, actually.
It's gonna be some gacha mobile game. It's gonna be fucking Girls Frontline, but it's an.
It's about as far as that from that as you can possibly get.
Oh, okay.
We did an episode of our podcast Oops All Manga on a Shonen Jump classic, Hikaru no Go, right?
I've heard of that. Mm-hmm.
Which is about a shonen protagonist learning the ancient board game of Go. And at the end of the episode, Jen said something that, like, naturally the response I had to make was like, well, I'll challenge you right now. And we made a video, and I was like, hang on, this game's pretty cool. And so I've played, I don't know, maybe a dozen matches of Go.
Oh.
You should try some Go with me. This game's fun.
I would like, I actually almost got into Go. I on my old computer had a Go client, like whatever the online Go client people use downloaded, because friend of the show Bayelucht, I think, is into Go, or at least has been in the past. And so I did some research on it, and I was getting into it.
Oh, so maybe you're going to beat me. Hang on, I don't want to play.
I was going to say, wait, is this going to be like StarCraft, where you knew one all in, and you smashed me the one video episode we did?
It's the Co rule.
You
can't do this. This is illegal.
I don't remember.
Well, so I'm sure I'll lose. It's fine. But like the thing is, there aren't parts of Go that I've played that I dislike. That's the difference between this and StarCraft. Is StarCraft, I'm like, well, all the like, you know, base building and the macro, this all sucks. But once I get to micro, that's kind of fun. Go's just fun, because there are phases in terms of like the way there are phases of, I don't know, like parts of a song, right, where like the atmosphere and like the context has changed.
Yeah,
but there aren't modal shifts. Mm-hmm. You're just placing rocks on a board.
yeah, I remember that. And the amount of depth there is to Go is just kind of crazy.
Yeah,
this was years ago now, but yeah, I should re-download.
You don't need to download shit. Online-go.com.
Yeah.
We're going to play a game after this, unless you're like, six, I'm busy. And I'll be like,
I haven't played in... I literally don't remember the rules.
I mean, like, it's the rules are incredibly simple.
We could teach you on the fly. FYI.
Like, I mean, you'll lose your first game. Of course you will. Sure. I've been playing recently. It doesn't mean anything. Sounds good to me. Great. Oh. 2023, it's gone. You can't have it back.
No.
I did try the right before the new year. I managed to try Jack of the Box's new smashed Jack, which is
gold for
meat.
This is a journey into money. Loads of money.
It was great timing. I forgot my own fucking gimmick, and you saved me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is them trying to... I'll just go ahead and post the branding.com link, obviously. This is them chasing, basically... It's partially them chasing In-N-Out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, In-N-Out plus, like, a little bit of, like, the, like, Quarter Pounder with Cheese kind of vibe from McDonald's, plus a little bit... I mean, like, the Smash Burger thing, which is not either of those... I mean, you know, I guess In-N-Out does basically a smash burger, but this is like a quarter pound smash burger, so it's only so much smash, which is interesting.
Only so much smash.
So, for the most part, what I have to say is this is fine. You should probably get In-N-Out, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's interesting to me is their new boss sauce.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you'll, of course, remember references to Jack in the Box's classic Good Good sauce, right?
I couldn't have told you, but yes, I do, in fact. It's in my memory banks.
Well, now they have their new boss sauce, which I'm pretty sure is just Good Good, good sauce.
Brand Eating says it's just like fucking Thousand Island.
Well, and like...
Like everything
it
else is.
Right, that's the thing, is it's like they invented a second secret sauce, which is the same sauce. And now I'm starting to get, like, conspiracy-brained about this, is the thing.
Okay. Because
the thing about Jack in the Box is their menu is wild and is, like, there is very little cohesion, I would say, right? They just put things on the menu. I got this burger with, as my side, I thought about getting fries. Instead, I got an egg roll, right?
That's right. They also do like Del Taco.
Right. They also do like crazy. A teriyaki chicken bowl and stuff, right?
Sure.
They'll do little boxes of tiny tacos.
Sure.
In like a Chinese takeout container for some reason.
Sure. That makes tons of sense.
And the thing I'm wondering is there more reuse than you would think? For example, I know the way they do their big hard tacos, the cheese is just a slice of American cheese down the side of the corn thing and they melt it.
Sure.
But what else is going? Are there? Do they like? When you order curly fries, if they only have regular fries ready, do they just bust out a curling iron?
Yeah.
Like, how deep does this go? It's what I want to know.
Six, I'm going to blow your fucking mind. Uh-huh. I know what Jack in the Box is made out of. You're not going to like it. It's just, you think it's like, oh, it's like maybe like a Taco Bell where they, you know, it's everything in the same ingredients. No. All of Jack in the Box's food is just made out of this one thing. Scientists hate them. It's atoms.
Oh
my
god.
It's all just made of matter.
Oh my god. See, I thought where you were going was going to make a joke about the toy Jack in the Box. You're going to be like, it's made out of spring.
What the fuck does that have to do anything?
Well, it's a Jack in the Box, you know, the toy?
I do know the toy.
Well, it's what the restaurant's named after, and so I thought you were going to, you know,
so it's a
fake
shirt,
me
right?
out.
And it's just, it's a black shirt with some white text.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like a bubbly font, not over, or like a very bulbous font, and it says, do you know the toy?
Oh, okay, this is a great example of how fucked up. I'm going to post you two images of, like, just generic people. Okay, different. This is DoorDash, and here's Postmates, just taking picture of, like, you know, your stereotypical Jack in the Box order. This is insanity. That's what we have here is we have like a sourdough sandwich of some sort and a burger and some sort of like BLT and curly fries and onion rings and egg rolls and ranch and teriyaki sauce and an orange soda. And then the other one is like shot under a black light with the most depressed
right?
looking taco I've ever seen in my life. A single curly fry just sort of lost in the middle of it.
Yeah. They're highlighting, like, the marketing on the box more than anything in this picture.
I love this this taco sauce packet that says, hot taco sauce. It's hot for taco.
Hashtag hot for taco. Wow.
Buttermilk house sauce, a.k.a. ranch.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. Oh boy, let's see. I was trying to see if I had some pictures of various meals. I mean, I suppose it's not gold for me. We never use this one anymore. Jackie's Chow.
It's very convenient for me, actually.
No. So I don't have pictures of anything, but rapid fire style. I'm going to go down the foods that I've made in, I think, December in the past month. Not a holiday food, but I made garlic soup. I think it has a French name. It's like
Le soup garlic. Okay, tell me about garlic soup.
It's, I think, out of... which one did I... It's out of some Julia Child book, and I think it is a French recipe. You just boil fucking, like... a shit ton of garlic with like a bay leaf and a little bit of spice. And Alan now joining the secret shop. Alan, we're talking about garlic soup here. So you just boil a shit ton of garlic with a bay leaf and some spices. Nothing else. No chicken stock, no bouillon, no nothing.
Craig's recording, by the way, Alan, you can speak.
I know. I'm listening to Nick.
Okay.
Fair enough. Yeah. And then
that sounds gross.
At the very end, you basically make a mini mayonnaise in the bowl before you serve it. And so you like,
oh, okay,
put
that
in
doesn't
an egg
sound gross.
And some oil and you mix it and you make a little mayonnaise and then you pour you strain the soup, obviously, to get the cloves out. And then you pour the soup in and you kind of mix it. It's actually pretty good. It doesn't taste like garlic that much. It's not like what you'd think. It's very gentle and like thin. It's so strange.
No, you have to understand. He's so kind. He's very gentle.
He's really kind.
I know he sounds harsh, but trust me. Once you get to know him.
For boiling garlic, you boil it for like 30 minutes to an hour also.
Yeah.
So like, But it doesn't, it's not like frying garlic for that long, or like garlic confit is what I thought it would be like. It's very strange, but it is good. I'm doing rapid fire.
Wait, garlic confit, is this anything?
That's when you, no.
No, so it's, okay, no, it's, this is easy. This is easy. Okay. This is so easy. You know how, like, you know, you've seen like a garlic press, right?
Yeah.
But you've also seen people stomping grapes, right?
This is what I knew. Yes. Six was going here immediately.
It's so of course. It's right there.
Oh my! Just that video of the woman falling in the grapes, but it's a fuck ton of garlic. Ew!
And also, garlic's pretty hard, so probably she failed to smash like any of it.
You need that extra weight, you know. You gotta get.
Why
some
do people say using
on.
A garlic smasher is bad?
This is they this do? Is. They do well. Basically, the one celebrity chef that Alan read a book of says that. I think it's prissy garbage.
I see. Okay.
Why? Is that? Why do I think it's prissy garbage?
Because
there's nothing wrong with it. It's like it's for people who have a garlic press and don't want to spend 10,000 years dicing garlic. Just do it.
Okay.
I bet there are situations where it's like, no, by crushing it, you're sort of like messing with like the structure and, you know, the delicate flavor. Shut the fuck up. Just crush
it. I mean,
garlic.
There's a difference between like sliced garlic and crushed garlic, but.
Sure. But I just nearly always crush it.
Yeah. I don't have one, but I feel like if I did, I would use it.
Oh, I got to get you a garlic press, my man.
Get me a bottle crow.
My problem is like 75% of the garlic always gets caught in the press.
Well, then just take it out. Okay, oh. You need a better press, probably, is part of it.
Yeah.
Because I have a decent press, and you can get most of it out of there. You have to work it a little bit.
Do you even bench, like, bro? Do you even press, bro?
I literally do, Nicholas.
What do you bench, Alan?
You know that scene in Forrest Gump where he's sitting on the bench and talking about life is a box of chocolates?
Yeah.
You bench chocolates?
You bench that?
Do you want to actually know how much I bench, or are we doing a bit? What's the bet?
What's
the difference?
Answer the question. I asked a very simple question.
I bench about 125 pounds.
Booty.
That'd be heavy cake if you had 125 pound booty. That's some
okay,
problem.
Okay, I'm gonna clip saying that'd be some heavy cake.
That'd be some heavy cake. Anyways, my phone's gonna die. Have fun. Be safe.
Thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us, Alan. Chats colon I don't know.
A television podcaster. CHATZPOD.com.
I think. Wait, hold. Basically a beef bourguignon, like a pot roast, but it was out of one of Alton Brown's cookbooks. So it was, of course, kind of nerdy and fussy in a fun, strange way. It includes tomato juice.
Hi, this
juice.
Is Alton Braun from AltonBraun.com.
Hi, this is Alton Braun from Alton Braun. Alton Braun. Alton Braun.
We got to put in a little Alton Braun for Alton Braun.
This is a particularly unhinged first episode to listen to. Not that anyone is ever good to listen to at all. Also made this pot roast, like, with some chuck, like made it for like 10 people. So it was like 4 to 5 pounds of chuck. And you like brown it, you know, you cut it, you put some salt, no pepper, just salt. You brown the pieces, you put it in the biggest fucking Dutch oven you have, which still isn't big enough. And then it also uses like button mushrooms, carrots, pearl onions, and potatoes. The grocery store is out of like the pre-peeled pearl onions that they always have. So we got 3 containers of unpeeled red onions, and it took us forever to cook, to prep. Sorry.
Mm.
And then he does this very kind of obsessive thing, which is probably good. You put in half the vegetables initially, and then 2 hours in, you put the rest in for some sort of like, you know. There's a difference in texture. You get some variety.
Wait, do you do it with all the vegetables or some vegetables go in later?
All of them.
So it's like you're putting in half the onions now and half later?
Yep.
That's fucked up. That's sicko shit.
I'm like, this is very... Like, listen, I can be like very obsessive and nerdy and picky about like the strange food things that I want to make. But I feel like even I wouldn't do that. But it was very good. And instead of adding like tomato paste or... stock or whatever, it's tomato juice. which I had to find in the grocery store because I haven't bought just regular old tomato juice in a while. And it's not a lot. Like, it's not a stew. It definitely, like, reduces down and it's kind of just like a coating glazing at the end. I should have taken a picture, but God, I was so tired. It was really, really good. It, of course, is better the next day. Like, I think literally because he has some note in the book, because of course he does, about the gelatin reabsorbing or something. And that's why people say, you know, pot roast is better the next day, stuff like that. We had it the day of. It was very good. I also made some like sauteed Brussels sprouts and bacon, where I shredded up a bunch of Brussels sprouts, which also took for fucking ever. Just like chopping. And then I like fried some bacon and then threw the Brussels sprouts in with some lemon juice and pepper. And surprise, it was very good. And the last thing I made was what's it called? Kartoffelklöße or something. It's a German dumpling. German potato dumpling of some sort. Let's see. Actually, I used the Chef John recipe, so I will just go ahead and link it. Kartoffelklöße. It is potatoes that you boil, you mash, you add some flour, some butter, and then a little bit of spices, including some nutmeg, which is very nice. I wouldn't have added it in there, but of course the pinch of nutmeg and pinch of cayenne, Chef John's special on the cayenne, is very good. And then you stuff these dumplings with some croutons. I made some homemade croutons, and you top it with some crumbled, like, bits of smashed crouton, I guess, and this brown butter that you used to make the croutons. It's very good. It's good stuff.
Feels like a very thick, like, wad of just potato. I would have expected them to be filled with something else.
Because it has two big pieces of bread in there, it isn't as much as you'd think, but they are pretty large.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
I also have been doing some cooking. So there's the one quick thing, right, which is something I've been turning everyone onto. I didn't talk about Bulldog on here, did I? Fire chicken?
I think you did.
Okay, well, cook Bulldog.
Or maybe it was just me asking about it. Yeah. It looks great.
Which, if you don't know, it's like a Korean... It's a Korean dish. I can get one from the Discord pretty easily. The friend of Discord, I suppose I should say. It is a dish, a Korean dish that is basically like tons of gochujang and gochugaru, which are the pepper flakes, and chicken and honey and cheese.
Yeah.
And it's stunning. Also, rice cakes in there, like sliced rice cakes. Very good. Highly recommended. So gonna recommend that. That's not the money shot. I had to Google for it. I did a better shot later on with the second time I cooked it where it had all the green onion and it looked very lovely. Anyway. But more recently, I have had a bit of a long night has passed, right?
Yeah.
So I had a pre-Christmas dinner with my parents before they went out of town. They live here. They were going out to see the rest of my family, which are in various places across the country, right?
Right.
And they're like, we want to do like basically a Christmas dinner before we go, and we'll do whole Christmas thing and everything. I was like, sure, that sounds fun. So that was the Sunday before Christmas. That was the 17th, not the said Sunday directly before Christmas, because that'd be Christmas Eve,
right,
of course. But and one of the things we decided to do was a Christmas ham.
Ooh.
Which never really done before, but you know, just a nice big ham. And none of us are huge eaters, but we had some, and then there was about 85% of a Christmas ham left. And they're like, all right, well, goodbye. Good luck with this ham. And so I spent about a week and a half eating a ham every day, sometimes multiple times a day, and getting very tired of ham. Finding creative ways to use up ham, and by creative, I mean I put an egg on it and stuff. So I think the best thing I did with it, besides just eating it, because it was pretty good, but was I did like buttered bread and then toasted it in the pan, right? then melted on some cheese, some white cheese. I did provolone at first because that's what I had, and then I moved on to mozzarella because that was what I had for used up the provolone. And then I put ham on top of that, and then a fried egg on top of that, and then a little bit of chipotle aioli.
Damn.
And that was good. That was a good experience.
It's like a fancy grilled cheese and ham and egg. That sounds good.
Yeah. You get real sick of it.
I was going to say, I think we did a ham for Thanksgiving, something like that. Oh, yeah, because I had a little Friendsgiving thing. I feel like I maybe didn't talk about it on the show. But we had ham and then so much leftover ham. And I feel like there's only, you can't like disguise ham like you can with some ingredients. It doesn't transform. It's just ham.
Yeah.
And it is incredible, but it gets old.
I did freeze the bone in the middle of it.
Nice, nice.
Because I don't know if you've ever made pea soup, split pea soup with a ham bone.
I hear that's what you're supposed to do.
It's really good. It's what you're supposed to do.
Ham hock or whatever. Mm-hmm. Ham bone, mm-hmm. Ham hock. Yeah.
So saving that for a rainy day, and maybe I'll never make that, and I'll have to throw the bone out in a year.
But hey, at least you have a bone in the freezer, you know?
Yeah, like they say. No bones about it. Yeah. Disappointed silence. I hear you.
As we're winding down here, you know, with the denouement of the episode, perhaps.
Uh-huh.
Are you feeling kind of relaxed, you know, chill?
I suppose so. That's why you should take the Jack snacks.
Oh, boy. Sorry, I had to put my phone
Jax.
Looking, I was ready to post a picture. Unrelated, I made a gingerbread house.
Oh, nice work.
From a kit, but you know. We're in the holiday space. Mike and
I! You went a little crazy with the icing, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. At the end, had some left over, and so just kind of...
Spray it everywhere. Yeah, so we have... I've obviously had Mike and Ike before. But this is Mike and Ike Mega Mix Sour.
10 flavors.
So they say. So they say. So I didn't know they did sour Mike and Ikes, and you know I love sour candy, so...
Right. You're the connoisseur. The king.
Oh, it lists the 10 flavors. Sour Zappin' Apple. Sour Slammin' Strawberry. Sour Screamin' Cherry. Sour Green Lime. Hang on, that's not a verb.
I mean,
sour juicy lemon, sour pucker punch, sour power pineapple, sour watermelon wipe. That's not even an adjective. Sour grape soda and sour shocking. We went back to the verb for the last one. Raspberry.
You've definitely said more than 10 things.
I just read the list. I don't know,
you
man. I
just kept reading that indefinitely and I would have never known.
Sour swinging tangerine.
Is there one of these flavors you're most excited by? Most tantalized by the description of?
I mean, I think I should start with a sour, juicy lemon if I can tell it apart from power. So power pineapple, the promise of power, I'm always tempted by. But sour, juicy lemon feels like it'll probably be the heart of this experience, you know? Just the most pure sour experience. So we'll start with what's probably that. But it's not very sour.
Is it coated with, you know, like the citric acid powder or?
No,
it's
no.
Just standard.
It has some citric acid cooked in, I think, but.
Mm.
It's okay. Well, let's try a power pineapple and perhaps it'll give me the power to get through.
No,
I don't know whatever could be left
power
in this episode.
Pineapple!
Like, listen. If you want to take your regular candy and just put a little citric acid in all of them and make no other changes, I will eat the entire box, but I am disappointed.
It like the Mike and Ike branding is the same size as the sour, right? So I feel like a sour with an exclamation mark, by the way.
You really expect something a little more, ambitious.
And I feel like this is so muted that this isn't just a case of your tolerance and your strength, right? It truly is just a disappointment.
It's just unimaginative.
It's not that. Yeah.
It's fine. I like Mike and Ike's. I like sour candy, even only slightly sour candy. I'll eat this whole box. It's fine. I'll eat all 440 calories.
Well, the true white whale is finding something that Six thinks is sour on this show. You know?
No, I mean, don't you remember when you sent me those sour candies? Those things fucked me up.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I was just thinking, like, did those balls actually work? Whatever flavor.
I mean, the problem was you sent them in the middle of a California summer.
Right.
And so they fused together to the Omni Ball. But when I was able to break ones off and try them, yeah, they were very sour.
Wow. Very sour.
But
all right, Six, would you say that we're to the denouement of the episode now?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I have some home improvements that have been going on, but I think that we'll have to save for a later time because I'm in the middle of something that's going to be very finicky, which is quite annoying. But Six, are you ready to be, I don't know, are you ready to be mad, perhaps? I also got one more Christmas gift that I meant to actually bring up on the last episode, or Battle Crow. but I have another thing that, to add to the shelf that eventually I will put up in this office here that I'm in, of just, you know, fun things to have, right? Which includes, when I complete the Gundam that Six got me, the Psycho Zaku. Well, I now have another Gundam kit to complete. I have the Justice Gundam, an MG of the Justice Gundam. This is larger and is more involved. I don't have it with me. Do I? No, I think I do. But it has like an action stand and everything and can like pose. So this is a very fancy Gundam kit.
So I have a couple I have clarification and correction, right?
Okay, please.
This is the Infinite Justice. You'll notice the little infinity symbol.
Oh, I see.
Gave this to you?
My brother.
We all know your relationship with your brother is complicated.
That makes it sound.
Is he a Gundam fan?
No, I think he has watched some. And I'm like, so this is from Seed. Well, I've heard some things about Gundam Seed.
Uh-huh. What have you heard about Gundam Seed?
I think I've heard that you think it's trash.
Yeah, that's accurate. Okay.
Yep.
All right. I don't think the Infinite Justice is a great machine, but, you know, I'm sure you'll have fun building it. Gunpla are fun to build. This is a master grade, which means it is 1/100th scale, as opposed to the 1/144 of the high grade I got you.
I knew those had something.
Most people think of high grades. You think of high grade, you're like, okay, that's an afternoon build. The one I got you is particularly complicated for a high grade. So.
Wow. But still, I look forward to having a Gunpla building. I will not start this one, obviously, before I finish the Psycho Zaku, because it's not that far, if I remember correctly.
Before the heat death of the universe.
Exactly. Before the last phone
We had a series of podcasts where there was a major feature around shaming Nick for not doing it, and he still wouldn't do it.
Because I'm not going to do it just because you told me to. That just makes me less likely. I don't even remember this series of podcasts.
This was a series of Garnet Wager episodes where you kept accidentally making mean jokes about unwanted gifts.
That's right. I do remember because I think I re-listened
the,
to that
the
one,
line, so. Strangely relatable.
Oh, that's right. It's the one, like, ammunition I have against Six, you know, like, not really genuine, but, like, half-genuine, you know, ammo against Six. Just, like, the casual insult of not having completed this Gunpla kit. Because it isn't actually like that, but, like, it could be. And it's the one, you know, genuine thing I feel like I have over six.
It's interesting.
It's my black whale.
It's like, I mean, even I think this comparison is a little ridiculous, right? It's kind of like in a relationship, using the fact that you cheated on someone and being like, that's my leverage. It's like, that's a shitty thing you did.
That's my leverage. I can't wait. I really need to find the shelf. The ridiculous thing is I need to just have the shelf, and then I'll be like, oh, and I'll instantly build it and put it on it. But I have nothing hanging on my walls besides three guitars and now a picture of Bob Wiley, actually, from What About Bob. Got put on my wall with a command hook the other day. But
huh, okay.
You know.
Sure, like you do.
Right.
All right, well, I guess it's Fanfiction Corner?
No.
No?
I refuse.
You didn't even know what I had planned.
Wait a second.
No, it's fine. All right. Nick, where can people find you on the internet?
Come to our Discord. Bottlecore Discord. Link in the doobly-doos.
Indeed.
Whatever you call them. The podcast notes. Are you taking notes?
Sure.
I hope not.
Until next time, folks. Peace out.
Sure.